God is good and his mercy endures forever. It's a joy to be here and to be a part of the work of God in this place. And God is doing awesome things this day. I appreciated those testimonies. And so we praise God and we'll have our own testimony after tonight. Amen. God will do something special for us. So Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you have called us together. You ordered our steps. You directed our path to be together for such a time as this. Lord, we want your download. We want you to speak to us and minister to us. And thank you that you've opened the eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive more than they can see with their natural eyes and hear with their human ears and even with the natural soulish realm. It goes into our heart, our spirit, Lord, our very character. Your word will not return unto you void. So I thank you that as we are in this season, predominantly to give you glory and to bring back that dimension to this earth and especially to our nation, to the United States of America, we will see Jesus. Amen. Jesus is Lord. God is God and there is no other. And the Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have been given to us for such a time as this to guide and lead us into all truth and to glorify Jesus Christ and to do all that you do, Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The saint said, you may be seated. I thought I knew what I would be bringing before the time to leave the hotel. And at the last minute, I felt that I was to change. Matthew 3:11 says, John the Baptist speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. If we were to read Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it is written that the fire on the altar must never go out. The fire has been burning low in the Church of America, regardless of which church it is, and the believers have allowed it to be so. Amen? And so we are once again in the season when God's not putting up with that anymore. And we are drawing nearer to God, and because we are, he's drawing nearer to us, and there's a freshness. There's a new determination. God indeed is baptizing us. Jesus indeed is baptizing us afresh and anew, powerfully, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. And so it says that the priest set the wood in order on the fire in Leviticus chapter 6 and 13. So right there it tells you that it's an apostolic age for the New Testament because it's the priest, the top ones, right, that are responsible, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They are responsible for setting the wood in order on the fire, as it were. Getting things in order, that's one of the attributes, characteristics of an apostle, is they cannot stand order that is disorder, that where there's no order at all. They have to have order. They're gifted also with organization. And so if they don't have it, administrative organization, they have someone with them that will do that. But the most important thing to know is that Rebecca, for example, being the head of intercession, I believe, or maybe Pastor Jack is, We are to pray the fire down. We are not going to have any false fire in this movement. We are not going to do it. We're going to have the fire of Almighty God, or we're not going to have any fire at all. Amen. In Isaiah 61 and verse 3, talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he says, you know it. I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so that Hebraism literally means that if we become heavy in our lives, you know, in the soulish realm, that's usually where that heaviness is. But in the spirit also, because it means the fire is burning low. I tell you, my fire burnt low for several years. We don't need to go into why, it just did. But I tell you, God is a God whose gifts are without repentance. And he never changes his mind. He never stops. He's just gotten a hold of us again. And I tell you, we're set on fire again. And we're going to do something for the glory of God. Amen. We're going to see his presence. Last night, I said briefly in Lexington, going back to Exodus chapter 13 and 14, that it was when they were coming out of bondage, coming out of slavery, 400 and plus years, that the fire was manifested. The fire, the pillar of fire was manifested. Hallelujah. And it went before them, and then it just moved because the fire just didn't need to open up the way before all that was needed. It was going to open. Amen. It was open like two walls, wall on each side. And God said in Zechariah 2:5, I'll be the wall around them, and I'll be the glory in the midst, a wall of fire around them, and the glory in the midst thereof. I saw a wall tonight as we were trying to break through, but it was not the wall of fire. And I saw that wall one other time, and I was reminded of it this week, and I believe the manifestation of it came tonight, because I saw it tonight as we tried. He tried his very best, bless his heart, to break through the wall of resistance that was here. God was wanting to break through. I tell you, you and I wanted to break through, but the devil didn't want us to break through. And it was in 1989, I believe it was, that I was in Anaheim, California. And it was like, I tell you, have you heard the word stonewalled? I'm telling you, it was like pulling our teeth. Now, I am a minister of fire, and I do not like to pull our teeth when I'm ministering the Word of God. I want people that are ready to hear the Word of God, ready to receive the Word of God, ready to act on the Word of God. And I just was about to quit and go back to the hotel. I just fought, because I saw a wall in the back of the room, and on it was the devil himself sitting like Humpty Dumpty, just absolutely challenging my every word and mocking and scorning and whatever. And so I inside, you know, what am I to do, oh God? Because I sure didn't know what to do. And he said, hammer with my word. Hammer with my word. That's a principle that we can apply to everyday life. When things are not going as they ought to go, we ought to pull out that word out of our spirits, or even out of the Bible itself, and just hammer with his word until that hammer breaks that resistance that is trying to stop us. We're going to break it and stop it. And we did. We did. Thank God. Give God a clap offering and praise his holy name. Amen. Now, where did I get? I don't know where I got. But it's unquenchable, see. And so we are not to let that fire burn low, because we're going to walk around with the spirit of heaviness if we do that. We're going to live in a spirit of heaviness. The Christian community, charismatic included, I don't know what you are, it doesn't matter what we are. I'll tell you this, we have had the mully grubs long enough. We have messed around long enough. And God told me specifically right there in all of that he said, give the devil no place. Give him no place. And I give him no place. Amen. I give him no praise by saying he's around. Can you shout amen? I just am going to get my hammer out and hammer with the word of the living God. Can you shout amen about it? Hallelujah. Where am I going? I better just put that aside for just a minute and let the Holy Ghost direct me in what he wants us to get tonight. Amen? When you get the fire, you get the glory, and you get the presence of the living God. They manifest together. They are one and the same. So, if you're not on fire, if a place is not on fire, the presence of God is not there. The glory of God is not there. Amen? But praise be unto God. We can keep on keeping on, and we will break through. Can you shout amen? The breakthrough is here, and today he had me to turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and read that again. I didn't have any idea why, but now I believe I do know why. But it's about David. The Philistines came down upon him and the army of Israel to kill them, Judah to kill them. And so God, you know, David asked God, what am I to do? Am I to go to war? Am I to fight with them? And you don't go to war without a strategy. You don't go to war. That's a Greek word, stratos. You have something. Then you know what you're going to do. Come on, you don't just go out there and flit around. You have organization. You have order. You have a reason. You have a purpose. You have something in mind that you want as an end result. Oh, shit, tell you, help me, Lord. Please help me. Help me, help me, Lord. Oh, my goodness. You have prayed and prayed and prayed, and you have praised and praised and praised, and you have preached and preached and preached. And I want to tell you, says God, I am ready to pour out my fire upon you. I am ready to stir up the fire that is within you. I am ready to make you an altar of sacrifice. As you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto me, you will surely see that I'll cause you burn to burn in my glory. I will cause you never to be without my manifested presence, saith the Lord. Yes, it is time for visions, Paul. For my people must have visions. For did I not say in Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, my people will perish. It literally means you will run like wild horses, like untamed horses that cannot be running in a strategic rank and way. And I say unto you, my people must have visions. They must see beyond the natural, and they must see into that which I want to show them. They must be like Peter and be waiting upon me and giving their tithes and their offerings. And they must give me time, because it is in a time that is given unto me that I can move you out into an eternity, and I can show you things to come, and I can open up my heart and show you visions and show you that the battle is already run, and I can give you the strategies that have won the battle, and you'll never be defeated again, because victory is my name. Triumph is my name. Conqueror is my name. And you are more than victorious. You are more than triumphant. And you are more than a conqueror, saith God. Give him a clap offering. Oh, give him a clap offering again. Oh, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whoo! What does... Okay, let's just go to it. The Lord wants us to go to it for just a moment. John 16. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is what he does. John the Baptist said, there's one that's going to come, and his name is Jesus the Christ. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then he gets down to the end of his life before going to the cross. And he says in John 16, ministering to his followers, and we are his followers. And he says in verse 5, but now, I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where I go. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow, grief has filled your heart. Because they were not going to see Jesus, quote unquote, in the flesh anymore. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is the truth, brothers and sisters. This is the truth. It is expedient. It is profitable. It is better for you. If I go away, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, one sin covers it all. They believe not on me. Anytime we cease to believe anything about the Word of God that says Jesus is or will do, we're not believing on him. And it's sin. It's got to be put under the blood. It's a sin for us to think we can do it when only he can do it by sending and giving the Holy Spirit to us. And the sooner we learn that, the quicker the religious spirit will have no power over us. The quicker we will not be condemned by the devil or that religious spirit saying you ought to do this or you ought to do that to be accepted in the beloved. It will do away with rejection. It will do away with shame. And you will quickly learn 1 John 1:9 just to say it like it is. And know that the blood of Jesus is cleansing you from all sin and all unrighteousness. But that you don't have to do this thing. Galatians makes that very clear. He who is in you is the greater one. He who is in you is the one that baptized Jesus, right? With the Holy Ghost and even with fire. Amen. So if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, how much more we need the Holy Ghost. In our churches, we are prone, and I'm one of them too, I can be, to lift up Jesus. But unless the Holy Spirit is given his place in the life of the believer and in the church itself, there's no glorifying Jesus. In John chapter 7, he had me reading that again today, verses 37 through 39. The Holy Spirit was not given. There was no water coming out of the belly like a river of water, living of waters. And he says, because of one thing, because Jesus Christ had not been glorified yet. I tell you, God spoke to me some years ago, and he said the outpouring, the overflowing of the Holy Spirit is dependent upon how much we glorify Jesus. But we've got to remember to give the Holy Spirit his place. We've got to come to know about the Holy Spirit. He is the one who gave the word. He is the one that makes the word manifested. He is the one who guides and leads us into all truth. And he is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is fire. He pours out his fire. What does that mean? Acts 2, 1 through 4, and then on through the book of Acts, and even into the epistles, will show you what being baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire will do for you and me. It will cause us to get out there and proclaim Jesus Christ and the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will not be speaking out of our own witness, but we will be speaking out of the witness of the Holy Spirit. And in one day, in the book of Acts, 3,000 were saved. What is wrong? We are not giving the Holy Spirit the place he deserves in the body of Christ to lift up Jesus, to get out of the way and stop trying to do it ourselves and get in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't flow, then we're in the wrong place. Let's change places. Let's go to whatever until we find out, where are you working, Holy Spirit? Jesus, where are you it tonight. What are you into? What do you want to do tonight? Even though we've prayed all day and I'm sure times and times before this, but tonight, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? Yes, we are here expecting. Yes, we are here in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are in the Holy Spirit, like Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. But we have to sit down and be quiet and just wait upon the Holy Spirit until He puts us in the position, until He puts us in the place. This is what I want tonight. Why is He planning it for tonight? Because He knows what's going to reach us tonight. He knows what He wants to do tonight, no matter what we want to do, not my will, but His will be done on this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Okay. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Do you see that? The prince of this world is judged. Come on now, brothers and sisters. You know who the prince of this world is? The devil himself. Who is he to stand up to the believer and act like he is the judge? That he is the one controlling everything? No, Jesus said he's judged. That means, brothers and sisters, he's going to hell. That means he's going to the lake of fire. That means we don't have to put up with him or his demonic activity. Amen, brothers and sisters. But the Holy Spirit knows that strategy of war that is going to stop him. We charismatics are as bad as any denomination out there getting into a rut. Come on now. Hallelujah. If things work for us, we're going to build a monument out of it. And do what? No. Holy Ghost is so fresh and new and so much God that it may work this time, but maybe if you try to do it the next time, Holy Spirit shows you who God is, because you don't get anywhere. Am I preaching better or not? Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Hallelujah. We're in the time of being able to bear them. Hallelujah. We're in the time when we can hold what the Lord is giving unto us and we can walk in it. We can live in it. Amen. Praise be unto God. I praise him for that. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Well, this is the way it is. Father God is Father God. And Father God speaks, and Jesus hears what the Father speaks. He didn't do anything on the earth, did he? Unless he heard his Father and saw his Father do it. And then Jesus downloads to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit downloads it to us. If we listen, if we yield, if we obey, amen, hallelujah. So to have all this that we know God wants to do now means that we're going to have to yield and obey more than we ever have. Hallelujah. We've got to give him our all. He's a jealous God. Moving right along. And he said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And then he said, a little while, and you shall not see me again. A little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Amen. So we predominantly want to see the glory of God, experience the presence of God, and experience the fire of God coming down from heaven upon his people within us and upon us. In 1975, in Columbus, Georgia, where we were living at the time, a man came from Indonesia, Malaysia, one was either Indonesia or Malaysia. Mel Torrey was his name. And I went to hear him. And I came away so full. And this is what he told us. The Holy Ghost and fire had fallen. Let's just say Indonesia, I'm not certain, but there. And they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they were speaking with other tongues. And he says, we watch them for the next 24 hours. And if we see no fire, we baptize them again. We dunk them again. What we need, sweet people, we have to be refreshed. We have to stay on fire. We have to stir it up. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, I love the Berkeley translation. It says, keep the fire blazing. Keep that gift of fire blazing, roaring. Come on. Inside of you, the fire can be silent, but the fire can be roaring. So it doesn't mean the glory or the presence or the fire is here just because we're screaming and shouting and jumping around. All right? That's good. I'm not against that. I've done my share of it. But I'm telling you, that's not the measuring, that's not the metron of the fire of Almighty God. Because it's like a lion, you know. He can roar and he can be quiet. He can be silent. But when he roars, when he is silent, you know something different is here. Now, why did Mel Torrey watch them and those people, each other, for 24 hours? And if they saw no fire, they knew that without the fire, they weren't moving as a pastor said, there's no movement. They're standing still. When I first received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, September the 21st, 1969, how did it come? And I'm not telling you an experience for you to think you don't have it if it doesn't happen that way to you, but the fire's going to happen some way. Amen? They spoke with tongues of fire in Acts 2:4. But a ball of fire started down here, and you know how people are. They were all over me. I could hardly breathe. And so finally, you know, they're praying, and I'm wanting. Hell, I did want it, Jack. And I tell you, it got up here, and I thought, I'm going to choke on this ball of fire. And then they started screaming, saying, she's got it. She's got it. She's got it. And I thought, well, if I knew what I had, I'd like to know so I could participate in it, you know. And I didn't know that I'd gotten it. But I trusted the pastor's wife, who was the major one leading the whole scenario, you know. And so Margie, the last word she said to me, going out the door, you speak in those tongues every day that you were speaking with. And I stood there with a blank face, I know, eyes that were puzzled, saying to myself, I would if I knew what I had spoken. Come on now, brothers and sisters. May take a long time for you to know what you're repeatedly speaking in other tongues. Amen? Hallelujah. But she had said it, so I trusted her. So the next day, I said, I do want to speak in those, you know, whatever they were. And these words came up, alako me te amo. Alako me te amo. I went around a month saying alako me te amo. That's all I had. And then the pastor, in his wisdom, asked me to go minister to a couple. And so they hardly knew me either. And the situation was that the man of the group, his mother and daddy were in And he too had been in that Pentecostal church as him as God. So he was Pentecostal. At that time, I was married to a Pentecostal. Hallelujah. That's when my grandmother turned my portrait down and never looked at it again and disowned me because she was Baptist and she did not want me being a holy roller. But she lost the game. Hallelujah. But anyway, and so the pastor wanted me to go to was a Methodist. That's what I was. I mean, to my toes and top of my head, I was a Methodist, and I still am Methodist. But thank God I'm a John Wesley and Charles Wesley Methodist. I speak with tongues more than you all. Hallelujah. But anyway, and so I did go, and I sat between them on the couch, and whatever. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know what I said. I do not know. But on the way, in front of St. Francis Hospital there in Columbus, Georgia, going to their home, I said, oh, God, make me an empty cup. Come on now. Just fill me. Make me an empty cup. And when I went, I sat between them, and amazingly, they opened the door and let me in. And I sat between them, and I poured my heart out. God was speaking through me. I can't tell you a word that I said. But that couple are still together today. Can you shout amen? It worked. Holy Ghost did his work. But I went back, and I am a musician, and I was the church organist in that Assemblies of God. As soon as I came, that's what I became. And then I was the accompanist for the teen choir. We traveled everywhere in the South. And so anyway, I couldn't wait to get through with that practice he was leading. I went in late, but I couldn't wait to go into that. We had a youth center, into that room, and get alone by myself and sit on the floor. And when I did, I sat there on the floor and I was praying, and what I was wanting was something I didn't know what I wanted, but I wanted a manifestation. I wanted to see my Lord Jesus. I wanted that vision to come into my heart, into my life. And after 20 minutes of saying, ala come te amo, I said, well, this is not the day. And I started to rise. I was sitting on the floor. And I grant you, I saw Jesus walk through that wall. He never gets in a hurry. We do, but he doesn't. Those eyes were pools of liquid love in that white. His arms were outstretched. And when he came and came close to me, I put my arms around his knees, his legs. And when I did, I was consumed in the fire. And I was raised up to heaven. And for 40 minutes, I know because I looked at my watch when I came out of it, 40 minutes, I was caught up with the angels singing worship, not praise. Praise is 50-50. You've got half of your attention on yourself and half on God. But when you worship God, you have nothing, nobody, the songs, the beat, the everything changes. And I was with the angels 140 minutes praising my Lord and my Savior. Come on, saints. And there again was the fire. I was set on fire. In fact, in that same church, a lady told me one day, oh, you'll cool off in about 6 months. And I said inside, oh, God, don't ever let me cool off. Make me hotter and hotter and hotter. Is there a price? Yes. There's a price to pay for the anointing. There's a price to pay for submission, sacrifice. Come on. There's a price to pay. There's persecution. Because when they're lukewarm, they don't want you around. And when they're cold, you can minister to them better than you can to the lukewarm, quote-unquote, Christians who think they know it all and they've got it all. And as God said, you think you're rich and have no need of me. But I tell you that you do have need of me, and you're poor and you're naked without that fire of God burning, causing us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Come on, saints of God. And that's what God is wanting to do in the Church of America right now. He is wanting to bring that fresh and new baptism of fire. Come on, baptism of the Holy Ghost. When I first went, you know, and I received the Holy Spirit, as I've told you about, two things I want to share with you. One is that in January, the pastor said to me, Bobby Jean, I want you to minister on Wednesday night to my people. I was horrified. And I said, minister to your people? You know, we were in a Pentecostal church. I said, they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost 20, 30 years, and you want me to minister to your people? He looked at me, wiping his grin off his face, and he said, yes, and that's just it. They're stagnated. They're like a stagnated swamp. They received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, and they haven't spoken since. And that's when it took, he said, you don't have to do it until you know the Lord says do it. So it took me till March to wait before the Lord. And that's when I knew John Wesley. Didn't have to read any biographies or autobiographies, nothing else. Just had to get before the Lord and do. And that's when I realized that John and Charles Wesley were baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues and fire, because Charles Wesley wrote a song, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. My great Redeemer's praise. He knew a tongue was not enough. He knew just the beginning of tongues. The fire was not enough. It had to burn brightly. Can you shout amen? It had to blaze up. You had to keep it doing that. Hallelujah. And the other one was, I didn't know what alakometiamo meant, but never lost it. It always is still there today. But when I went to Guatemala in 1983 to be ministering to those people there, and as they took me from the airport to my hotel, there was a banner over the main street, and the banner read, Tiamo. And I said, Tiamo? And they said, yes, it was Spanish. And it meant, because I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Those were the first words, Alakome Tiamo. And they said, well, Tiamo, just Tiamo means I love you. Hallelujah. And I learned that I love you meant not only was I telling God I love him, but he was telling me he loved me. And so Alakome, they said, meant extreme. Just an overabundance of love. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Lord loves you enough to send Jesus to die for you. The Lord loves you enough to send Jesus to that cross and put him at his right hand on the throne, you all, because he then, and God then, poured out the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, he waited for your generation, our generation for 2,000 years, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so we could be equipped and we could be priests ourselves, king priests and royal priests, oh, holy priests. Can you shout amen? And that we could walk on this earth even as 1 John 4:17, says, as he is, not gonna be, as he is. I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he said. As he is, so are we in this world. Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Well, obviously, I have not gone to anything here. Hallelujah. So, where do we go now, Lord? Okay. Mm. Just, I've learned one thing. I don't get nervous anymore because God doesn't get nervous. Amen. Oh. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13. That offering by fire. See, that's what we are. We're an offering by fire, sacrifice. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. We don't have to burn up, thank God. You know, it's an unquenchable fire. All right? It burns us, but it doesn't quench us. Right? Moses saw that in Exodus 3. By the way, if you're called, you're going to have a call by fire. You don't just make it up. You have a false fire. But if you're called, you're going to have fire. And you're going to be called by fire. Well, Bobby Jean, could you just say one thing about it? Yeah, you can't live doing anything else. You'll give up no matter what to do it. Amen. When he says move, you move. Have a movement going on. Praise be unto the Lord. Not going to say anything more about a movement. Hallelujah. And blessed be the Lamb. Sometimes what the church needs is a movement. But it's not the kind you're thinking about. Yeah, Buzz. It's the truth. If we don't hear it in church, well, we hear it. Hopefully we'll watch that mess on television. But anyway, it's the peace offering. When you have fire on your altar, you have the peace offering. Leviticus 6, 12 and 30. Peace. Peace offering, brothers and sisters. Do we have peace? Do we have Christ? And he's the Prince of Peace? Then peace is in us. Then why are we grumbling? Why are we murmuring? Why are we in fear that the economy is going to fall again? Come on now. Why are we afraid? I'm telling you what. God has made a covenant with us. And to redeem means he's going to fulfill his part of the covenant. We've got to fulfill ours. But I'm going to tell you, you have a covenant with God. That means those kids under you for generations are in a covenant too. And that means sooner or later, kicking or screaming, they are going to have to come to God. Amen. Your prayers do avail much, but I'll tell you, the highest degree is the covenant. And we have a covenant with Almighty God and our seed. Come on. Isaiah 54:17 is a marvelous verse of scripture. And I use it daily. And it comes to me more than once, I say it more than once and decree it and demand it more than once. No weapon formed against me. Or my seed, to 1,000 generations, if Jesus should tarry, come on. No weapon shall be formed against us. And I condemn every tongue that rises up against us in judgment. Oh, you're bringing condemnation on a person and you're bringing a curse on the person. I said their tongue. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. I have the right because he said this is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The thing we got to get over is being a wimp. The thing we've got to get over is compromise. Amen. Are y'all here? You're going home. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lamb. I feel like shouting or running or dancing. Are y'all happy? You were happy when I came in. You greeted me with great joy. Are you still happy? Okay, sure. I'm teasing you. Okay. No, I'm not really. Everybody smile. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh. What is God's will? According to Leviticus 6, it's to never go out. The fire is never to go out. Okay. And this fire was originally from heaven. I'm reading right now from it. Okay. Okay. And then, let's see, do you want that? Do you want to skip on over, Lord? He said, just going over. Okay. I want to read this to you. Oh, praise God. 2 Timothy 1:6, keep alive the flame of God's gracious gift. keep alive the flame of God's gracious gift. That's the Berkeley translation. And then this is, wait just a minute. No, that's another one anyway. And this is, fan the flames of that special grace. No, it's still Berkeley. That's in Ephesians 4:7. To each and every one, see, that's what he's bringing us to now. I think he said it, Dr. Callahan's, through prophecy, Pastor Philip 1, he said, I am shifting my people. I'm shifting, making shifts. He also made much, Nancy, he had much to say about place and position. And it's so fresh in my mind because he told me last August, I was in Houston, actually, I believe. And he said, it's time to lighten the ship. Throw overboard the unnecessary cargo. And I took him at his word and I started. And I had some people. Now listen, this doesn't mean that they are less. But it means because I allowed them to be in the wrong position, they could not get into the position God had for them. So you're really doing a favor to people when you get them out of the wrong position. Amen. So nobody should be offended by it. But we should just praise God that he knows where our gifting will work. He knows where our anointing will work. See, each and every one is anointed, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. You have the anointing. 1 John 2 says, you don't even need anybody to teach you. The anointing will teach you. So what does that mean, contradicting Ephesians 4:11? No. It takes an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher to teach us, but they open in their mouth and hope to God they are anointed. But the anointing through them is what teaches you and me. So nobody can compare themselves with somebody else who's doing whatever. Come on. God knows. Come on. Come on, saints of God. And and when we stop comparing ourselves and accept who ourselves are, we will not envy. We will not be in shame. We will not be jealous. We will not be offended. We will just praise God. Amen. That he put us where we are. Then he knows what he's doing. And we don't know what we're doing without him, do we? No, we don't. Okay, so where are we going now, Lord? I don't know. Maybe I just better put this thing down. I've already said that. Garment of praise. Oh, I will tell you what heaviness is that will burn low if you don't keep the fire burning. It's dejection, which becomes rejection. Say, I'm delivered from rejection, from shame. I am delivered. I am accepted in Jesus Christ. I am not rejected. I am not a reject. Well, you know what? That's even a good sermon there, Jack. That old table back, or that new table back there, you took it to the wrong place. But he said, this is not my place. That table was talking till you heard it. Amen. It's not my place. I don't want to stay here in this reject place. Come on. I want to get right where I should be. And so you heard that table and you went after that table. God hears us when we say we're not going to be a reject. We are accepted in the beloved and get us in the right place. And God picks us up and he goes for us and he brings us. You know, Exodus 14, when the Egyptians said, we will pursue them, but the word and overtake them. And what that word pursue literally means in the Hebrew is, I'm going to possess them. I'm going to take them over again. That's why every moment of every day of our lives, the devil is trying to get us, wear down the saints, come on, put our fire out so that the devil himself can once again possess us. But we make a decision, a resolve tonight. We are the possession of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the devil has no place. Get off. Amen. Go in the name of Jesus. Okay. All right. I tell you now, if you've been with me in the last few days, you know when I'm finished, I'm finished. And we'll go on to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay, Jude 20. It says, this is how we do it. This is how we keep the fire. And this translation, Knox says, make your most holy faith the foundation of your lives. You know, it's not a man's doctrine. It's not Apostle Hank Allen, though I tell you, I praise God that he's gotten a hold of it. Praise God, I've gotten a hold of it. But the foundation, your most holy faith is the foundation of your lives. You cannot build. Do we have a builder in here? You cannot build if you don't build upon a good foundation. And the higher the building is going to go, and the stronger whatever it has to be above the ground, that's how deep that foundation has to go, right? The building of the foundation. So if we're going to go up higher, and that was the word, the first message I spoke this year, January the 4th, over there in Frankfurt, God said to me, this word, come up higher. He's knocking at the door. Laodicean Church, Revelation 3, and then the end of it, he says, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'm standing at the door of your heart, your life, and I'm knocking. And then in 4:1, he says, I want you to come up higher. And when you come up higher, he says, I'll show you things. I'll show you things. I'm reminded once again, Rebecca, where are you? There you are, Rebecca. Jeremiah 33:3 that says, if you call upon me, I will show you high and lofty and inaccessible things that are accessible only by my Spirit. But we have to get up there. And that's where he's calling us. He's calling us to that position above the circumstances, above the mundane. I really thought that I was going to minister to all of us tonight. I was excited to hear what God was going to say and do because I wrote down several things. But the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. I think it's 1 through 12. Jesus' first sermon. And he says, the poor in spirit are the ones who are going to receive the kingdom. Poor there doesn't mean financially poor. Poor there means you know you can't do it. That you don't have it. You are totally dependent upon Almighty God. But when we humble ourselves, he says, what does he say? Humble yourself under my mighty hand, and it will exalt you. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he is going to lift us up. Give you the kingdom, yeah, the kingdom of heaven, it says. Matthew was strong on the kingdom of heaven. The others were strong on the kingdom of God. They're interchangeable, but they're the same. Right? One's not one thing and one's the other. It's all God. It's all up there, kingdom. And that's where we are. We're in kingdom living. Come on. And when you're poor in spirit and you're in kingdom living, you are not troubled about this old world. Amen. You're not dependent on this old world. You are dependent on Almighty God. Amen. And his kingdom, right? Kingdom principles, his kingdom. Fortify yourselves in your most holy faith. You have faith. I have faith. Well, how am I going to fortify that? Make it like a fortress. Make it strong. Make it the stratos, the strategy of my life, getting those directions, those plans, those strategies by praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, saints. Well, you don't have to be on the bended knee to pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues in the airport, in the bathroom, in the elevator. And it's better not to speak in tongues on the elevator or in those public places, but you can sing in tongues. I've had them happen to me, and people say, oh, we didn't know you were French. And don't tell me tongues aren't real. I've spoken in tongues that are languages all over this world. Do I have a past Catholic in the room? Who's been a Catholic? All right. Who are Catholics? We have that one and one behind. Okay, and that one. Buzz, I'm surprised. Okay, anybody? Oh, three. Oh, we've got quite a number of Catholics in here. It counts. She was baptized as a baby into Catholicism, but then they quit going to church. Hallelujah. Well, what are you going to tell us about the Catholic Church, Bobby Jean? This. I was ministering in Chicago. And so somebody right across the line in Indiana wanted me to come, wanted them to bring me in to minister. A great multitude of people in this place, whatever. And so I did. Can't tell you exactly, but I know the Holy Ghost did it. And I know the Holy Ghost was there. And so after I finished and I had prayed for people and so forth and so on, I think it was two daughters brought their mother up to me. Now, the service already over and everything, and they brought the mother up to me. She was a little woman. And so she looked into my face, and they wanted me to pray for her. And so I started praying for the little woman, probably loved her or whatever. And, oh, she was hugging me and loving me and patting my face and just beaming all over. And then the daughter said, she understood every word you prayed. She has never been outside of the Catholic Church, but she understood everything you prayed because you were praying for her in Latin. God has a way. God will do it. All we have to do is be willing and obedient. Thank God he says in Isaiah 1:18 and 19, when we do, we'll eat the fat, the good of the land. Are you having a good day? Yeah. Every day's good in the Lord, is it not? Hallelujah. Let me just flip through here real quick. Okay. Hallelujah. Let me just read you these. Moses was called by fire. Elijah, he was the fiery prophet. Gloria Coppola, they asked Gloria in Alaska if it was true that she and I are cousins. And, she, you know, Gloria never gets excited about anything. And she's told them, and they told me, she said, yes, we're cousins. Says she's the fiery one. She didn't know what a compliment. And I asked her later. I said, Gloria, did you say that about me? And she said, yes. And that was it. Okay. what? Okay. 1 Kings 18:24, answer and acceptance and proof. When you're on fire, you're going to get an answer. You're going to get some acceptance. You're going to get proof, okay? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, God's fire was all-consuming and greater than the fire that burned seven times hotter. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. They had the asbestos suit on, and sometimes, babies, we need asbestos suits on in this world, don't we? And they put out fire, you know, in the world with fire. So if we're going to put the fires out, we got to get hotter than the fires that are burning. Oh, Jeremiah. Oh, I've got to read this one to you. Jeremiah 9. It's in the Taylor and the New English Translation. Then his word was imprisoned in my body like a fire blazing in my heart, and I was weary with holding it under, and I can't hold it in any longer.
Amen.
You want me to read it again? Okay. Then his word was imprisoned in my body like a fire blazing in my heart, and I was weary with holding it under, and I can't hold it in any longer. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to the Lamb. I've already given you Zechariah 2:5. I'm the wall of fire around them and the glory in the midst of thereof. I've given you Matthew 3:11, that there's one coming mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I've given you Acts 2:1-4. Now I will give you Hebrews 1:7. He turns his ministers, which means servants, which also means worshipers, into flaming ministers of fire. Flaming worshipers of fire, flaming servants of fire. Revelation 3:18 speaks of the fire, right? Lukewarm, hot, cold, right? Want you hot. Revelation 1:10-18, there's that blessed vision of Jesus. And I had it too, and I had it twice. Hallelujah. But the second time I just saw from here up, and the head and the hair was white as wool, and his eyes were balls of fire. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? And then Isaiah 5:26-29 is flint. That's fire. And 15:7, I don't know what that is. Look it up. Ezekiel 3:9 is flint. And then Genesis. When I first got this fire on the altar, I ministered from Genesis 22 because that was Abraham's last test. This may be our last test. Abraham had the fire in his hand, and he took that fire, and Isaac, the thing that was the most precious thing to him in the world. Now, I've had to let go of some of those. Come on, y'all. I've had to do it. Well, how did you do it, Bobby Jean? I've had to go on that road regardless of whether I wanted to be home or not. And my family went through it too. Amen? So, they're to be rewarded also. Hallelujah. Can you shout amen? But you know what? You're talking about movement. Today, the Lord had me reading 2 Timothy and chapter 4, and Paul says, I have run the race. I have kept the course. You know, in other words, he didn't stop. He didn't quit. He didn't slow down. He was right on the plumb line of race. And then he says, and therefore, because of it, the crown of righteousness is laid up in store for me. That when you get there, and you know it says we are throwing our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Well, I want to do a subject now on crowns, but I haven't started yet. I just read that today. Hallelujah, God is good. But okay, fire in his hand. He took Isaac. 14, last test, test number 10. What does 10? 10 is the number symbolizing order, perfect order, divine order. So divine order had reached the point of now it was working fully in Abraham's life, okay? Verse 17 and 18, and then you know that precious, all-powerful verse that says, and may your descendants inherit, may your, whatever it is. In other words, they're going to win the battle at the gate. That's too good for me not to turn to. Would y'all turn to it? Genesis 22. No use to try to get it when you can turn to it right where you are, huh? Of course, brother probably has that back there. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Verse 17. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Come on now, saints. Can't we pray that as covenant people for our seed and seed, that they are going to possess the gate of their enemy, surely? I'm telling you, it's the truth. Give God another clap offering and praise his name. Oh! Praise be unto the Lord. Joel 2:15. I don't know. That must be, anyway, that, read Joel 2, Rebecca. The priest is supposed to lay between the porch and the altar, face down. That's the way a Jew says, I can't humble myself anymore. I'm flat on my face. Hallelujah. I had something to say. Maybe God wants to say something. Hallelujah. Ooh. Oh, yeah. I'm moving in on your families, saith God. Oh, I have heard the wailing women. I have heard the moaning and the crying. I have heard the petitioning. And I say unto you that I am moving in upon your families, upon your seed and your seed. As long as it takes, I'm going to make them righteous just like I have made you righteous. Some of them are chosen to be ministers of fire. Some of them are chosen to take the fire and to deliver the fire in strange and out of the way places. But you have got to trust me with your children. You have to look up unto me with your children, and then they shall be saved. They shall come into divine order. The things that rejection and shame has caused in their lives shall be put aside, shall be annihilated, shall be rotted, shall be done away with as the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage in their lives. And I shall deliver them, and I shall heal them, even as I have delivered you and I've healed you. And you are not rejected, you are accepted in the beloved. They are covered because you are covered, saith the Lord. I will protect them and I will keep them, saith the Lord. And it is indeed true. I know who's going to call upon my name. I know. Oh yeah, there's the fire. It's in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name. When you speak the name, the fire goes forth. The fire is manifested. The fire does its work. So speak the name, the name, the name that is above every name, and you will surely see that little by little they will not be the same. I am removing them from ungodly situations, people, places, and things. I am putting them in the place that I have chosen for them. I am putting them in the position that I have chosen for them, and I am removing certain ones from about them. But you see, as they turn unto me, even that which is ungodly and works ungodly things, it is made right in me and sets them on fire and gives them that tensile strength in their backbone that only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can be. And so, no, this is what I say unto you. I will do it because that's me and I am God, saith God. Amen. Glory to his name. Yes. Eruption, eruption, eruption. The volcanoes are rumbling. They're rumbling. They're rumbling. Because that which has been inactive shall become active, saith the Lord. And the fires of my spirit shall, woo, blow up, saith the Lord. Blow up, saith the Lord. And come down, saith the Lord. And it will not be of destruction. Only destruction to the enemy. But it will be the fire of my presence. In the volcanic fire measure. Oh, God. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Woo. Joel 2 is a mighty chapter. I love the one verse that says, and they shall not break rank. And because they don't break rank, they won't thrust another through. Ranks usually went, when you read about it in the Old Testament, they were ranks of five. Five is the symbolic number of grace and Holy Spirit. So they're going to walk in the grace of God, and they're going to walk in the Holy Spirit, not just live in spirit. We are. And then I like the one that speaks of the priest laying between the porch and the altar. The porch stands for judgment. And the altar, that stands for the blessings of God, the mercy of God, mercy seat. And I don't even know, saints, but I had seen it in that prophetic word, but I don't know if I said it. But God has allowed Psalm 91, 4. Oh, that's the shield. Psalm 91, though, has kept a lot of our seed and our seed's seed from the devil being able to steal, kill, and destroy. Hallelujah. So we're not going to quit. Amen. Fire is used of the holiness of God. Ooh, this Malachi 4:2 right here. 3:2. 3:2. Which consumes all that is inconsistent therewith. So you see, when the devil comes in like he tried to tonight, it's going to take the fire. The fire of God. Well, he didn't want me here in the first place. He's been doing little things all week trying to stop that, and we got in a wreck. We weren't in the wreck, but what I mean, the traffic of the wreck. But you know what? We knew we were coming. We knew we were going to get it. Hebrews 10:27. Let's turn there, because right off of my head now, I don't know, and this will be the end, and I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. In fact, somebody's knees have been healed while I've been speaking, because he didn't let me call it out as a word of knowledge. Your knees have been healed, but you know where it started? I saw it as I sat there. Started in the hip, and it went down. What's that called, hamstring? Hamstring, from there, sciatic, I saw sciatic nerve, from that hip down to that knee, and I'm telling you, whoever had that, you're healed. Yes, you are. Like it or not, you're healed. 10:27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. God's wanting his fire to flow to devour some adversaries. You got it too, Nancy. 12:29. Oh, dear Jesus. 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. It's unquenchable. It doesn't, see your memory, it didn't consume the burning bush. So that same, what do you say? That fire, it doesn't consume us. Thank God it burns up what needs to be burned up. It does. In Revelation 3:18, it is symbolic of that which tries the faith of saints, producing what will glorify the Lord. Let's read that. Revelation 3:18. Hallelujah, Jesus. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Praise God. Revelation 3:18. It is symbolic of that which tries the faith of the saints. That faith, and it says this, producing and produces what will glorify the Lord. What can we say? The more we allow the fire to burn on the altar of our lives, the more that fire burns, like when we come together in this period, the more we will glorify God, the Father, the Son, and even the Holy Spirit. I want the fire. Well, you got the fire. I want more. Now that pastor told me, when the fire did come in, I knew it. Called me in. And he said, Bobby Jean, you're a leader. Because I'd gotten it somewhere else other than the church. Because it was Good Friday. And I was still Methodist enough. I wanted to be in it somewhere. And I went. I got the fire. I never had been. I felt like I was beating 39 stripes. I felt like I was raw meat because I wasn't used to being persecuted or whatever like that. And he said, you are a leader. I don't want you saying, and he said, I'm not going to have anyone in my church saying. They can get something somewhere else that they can't get here. I went, thank God, I was leaving to go on a trip, of all places, trip. And when I got back, I was told that pastor was resigning. Bobby Jean didn't leave, but the pastor left. He had come against the fire. And then, I don't know, maybe 7 years later, we were going to New Orleans, driving. And I said, I want to go out of the way there. I won't say where. I want to see the pastor couple. I said the name, Pastor so-and-so, so-and-so. We went, we stayed in their home. And overnight, because we're going to be on our way, I ended up in the living room with the pastor alone. And this is what I said. Pastor so-and-so, I'm so sorry that, I don't know how I said it, but what I was doing was apologizing for bringing that into the church when they didn't believe in it. He looked at me. Do you know what he said? He said, God sent us to a dry place, a place where there's not been any water, no Holy Spirit, no fire. And we have said many times to each other over the 7 years, We need 7 Bobby Jeans in this church. You may be persecuted, but you love them, and you pray for them, and you be in a position to repent, whether you are the one who offended or not. And God will justify you. God will raise you up. If you're on this word, He will do what is needed to be done to bring you to that. Come on. Come on. So you see from 1974, but you know what? God has brought me through all pride. How did that happen? I went through test after test. Fiery trials. He brought me through them. He let me go through them. And I thank Him for every enemy that I've ever had. Because if I hadn't had the enemies, I wouldn't be where I am. But He's brought me through all of that. And can I tell you tonight, I think everybody loves me. And I don't want to hear it any differently. Can you shout amen? It's just amazing what the Lord will do. Amen.
Were you going to say something? You want to pray for people?
What I would ask of you, please, is that first we're going to stand, and we're not certain how the direction will go, or what you will need to do, but I've asked Andrew to speak the Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26, which is the high priestly blessing over you. So you just maybe even lift your hands and just receive that blessing from God. And then after that, what we will do, I feel that it should transition one into the other, is we'll move the pulpit, get it out of the way, and then we will just curl around this some way, just give me room to walk, and shoulder to shoulder. And for those that would like prayer, I'm so in the spirit. Thank you, Jack, for those things you said. But anyway, shoulder to shoulder, and then I'm sure we have some ushers, and I always start at that side. And what I want to transfer and deposit and impart to you is that anointing of fire. And then, well, you can take the message and see what to do with it. But I want to do that. I learned February 1978 that the fire was on the name. I've been walking into fire, of course, since the day of Pentecost in my life. But it's the name that is above every name. It's the Lord Jesus. That's where that fire is. So let us receive this blessing on our lives.
Yivarech Yehovah v'rismarecha, Ya'er onai palvelecha, v'hu nercha, Yisar onai, ponav elercha, v'yesim lecha, shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. B'shem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, if you would just please, row by row, just come up and form the line. And, pardon? Left side here. And you and me. Oh, no. I don't want any music. Okay. Not tonight. It works differently all the time. Okay. Thank you. Take your shawl. Okay, Mike, will you get on my left side? Hallelujah. And we'll go over here. Okay, those that would like the prayer, just come and form the line. Okay? And the ushers will help you. Nope, you're going to have to come to me. Bless you. And if you would, please. Jesus is the baptizer, right? And he is the one that will release, depart, and impart. So if you would just close your eyes and lift up your hands in a receptive, submissive form of stature to the Lord God Almighty, to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would appreciate it. And if you would. You have travailed and you have groaned. You have asked the question time and time again, Lord, what do we need to do? Where do we need to go? Show me the way so I can lead. And this I have to say, you are the ones that I have chosen to go after my bride. It is my bride that is going to stand by my side. And you've been chosen to go north and south and east and west. I'm not telling you the boundaries. I know the boundaries, saith God. All I'm asking you to do is to do what you know you are to do in your heart. A new day is going to start for you, and it starts now. And if a new day is starting for you, there's also a new beginning in what I ask you to do, saith the Lord. You are equipped. You are able. You have an apostolic anointing. That's why you're seeing so many miracles. And you are seeing signs and wonders. And I promise you that miracles, signs, and wonders are going to increase. And from this night forward, the fire will not go out on the altar. It will not go out on the body and the bride that you are raising up. But they will be the ones that will take the torch. They will be the ones that will run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Now you've made a great deposit of walking by faith. But from henceforth there's going to be a new anointing of your leadership in teaching to walk by the Spirit. You've taught them how to live by the Spirit. Now is the new day. Walk by the Spirit. The banner over you and over this work is love. The banner is love. Georgetown has been chosen by the devil as one of the enemy's campgrounds. But I say unto you, you are chosen by the God of gods and the King of all kings, not to be a ground where people can camp, but to be a place where they are sent ones. And you will see that more and more people will begin to have an effect upon other people. And all will begin to know their identity, for their identity is in my destiny for their life. So I've called you, men of love, men of God, to raise the banner over you and even over Georgetown that will defeat the enemy. The enemy has said this is his, but I say no, it's mine. And I will make the place of my feet glorious, saith God.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. She prayed for me last night, and I barely was able to make it home from Lexington to George to Frankfurt. I was so drunk in the Holy Ghost. I learned Richard to focus on the lanes to stay on the right way. I don't know how I'm getting home tonight. I got a recliner in my office. Patty's on her own. We drove separate. Pray, you said something the other night in Frankfurt really ministered to me. You said you need to make sure you find somebody to pray with because of agreement. Did you have something you were going to say? Oh, I thought you had your hand up. Wow, I could have sworn I just saw your hand up. It was in the spirit. She prophesied over me something that I haven't talked to anybody about. That Pastor Callahan's all over the world, Pastor Jim's all over the world, Pastor Phillips all over the United States, people traveling everywhere. I said, God, I'm hardly going any place. You know, you'd let me go to Africa and I'm going some other places, but am I missing something? You know, here we're on Georgetown and we're doing what we know to do here. And that's been my thing. God, I'm doing all I know to do. And I'll say, God, I'm missing something. He'll always come back and say, I've not called you to those. I've called you to usher in the glory of God to Georgetown, Kentucky. And that's your assignment is pastoring and bringing in the glory to the bride. That's exactly what I've been hearing. The people in my church will tell you that I've talked about that. We're to bring the glory to the bride here in Georgetown. Amen. So that was exactly right on. Have you enjoyed Bobby June's ministry tonight? Yeah.